In great need of the Lord to help each one of us this morning, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word. I'll draw your attention to the chapter that we read, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. And as the Lord may help me to speak from verses 18 and 19. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verses 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Well, your first thought this morning may be, well, this isn't very Christmassy, is it? And no, in one regard, it's not. And, you know, I've been tempted that maybe this is the wrong words to bring before you this morning. This might not be a very Christmassy text. But may this be a text that is suitable for us as we come to the close of another year, to ponder our hearts, the seed which has been sown, and the fruit that has risen from it. These are the words of Christ. And in verse 9, and oftentimes when he spoke in parables, he said these words, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." May we each be given those ears this morning to hear God speak through his word, that we may be fruitful. But the Lord spoke in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. May we be seeing and hearing people as we gather together this morning and study these words. May they be applied by the Spirit. Just think, how many times have you sat here this year? How many sermons have you heard? Probably 100+. 100 times in this year you have sat, you have listened. And before us, in this parable, we have 4 types of ground, don't we? We have the stony ground. We have the ground, the wayside ground. We have the thorny ground. And we have the good ground. And we can apply these 4 types of ground really in 3 different ways. And may the Lord apply it as he sees fit to us. We can either apply these types of ground as being us personally. We can apply it to us at this specific time, at this moment in time. But we can also apply it to us as in certain areas of our life. We may be a good ground hearer in one part of the Word of God. We take the Word of God. We like that bit of Scripture. And we are good in that ground and fruitful in that ground. But maybe there are other parts of our lives which are untouched by the Word of God. We can take this in any of these three ways, and may the Lord apply it as He sees fit to us this morning. But firstly, let us consider what it is that we worship for. Why we are here this morning. Why I am standing in front of you, and why your dear pastor does week after week. We sow the seed. We sow the good seed of the gospel. And you young ones here this morning, you know that as you may look at fields, you will see those tractors in the fields, won't you? And the tractors go up and down and they sow that seed in perfectly straight lines. But in the Bible days, the sower had the seed round about him, and he had to put his hand in his pouch and throw the seed over the field in various parts. And some of that seed fell on the paths or the roads or the bits around the edge of the field. Some of it fell on not very good ground where it wouldn't take root and bring forth fruit. And some of it fell on weedy ground and some on good ground. And what Jesus is trying to get and explain to the people via this parable is that is why we preach. We preach the word of God that it may do you good. That you may bring forth fruit. Something may come from that which is spoken. This, dear friends, is the seed, the word. It's the seed of all grace sown by the Spirit. Christ is the chief sower. But those that preach the word are as workers together with him. And you know, I'm an impatient man by nature. I want to go out and sow the word of God in the morning service and expect a harvest in the evening. But no, it's not like that. We have need of patience. We have need of the Lord to work. Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God must give the increase. That's why your pastor stands here week after week after week, longing to see fruit. An evidence that the gospel has done something for you. That you have been convicted of your sin. That you have understood who God is, who you are, your need of a saviour. And that the word of God is applied by the Spirit for your eternal good. It's a solemn responsibility to sow the gospel. For as I look out upon you now, you each have never dying souls. You must each stand before Almighty God at that great day of judgment. And as sowers of the word, just think. what that means. You will stand before a holy God. And was I faithful in sowing the gospel to you? All we can ever hope to be is the Lord's messenger with the Lord's message. But the blessedness of preaching is God knows the perfect time to sow that seed. God knows the perfect time to prepare the ground. God knows the perfect time to water that seed. He knows the time and the season for all these things. And that is the beauty of preaching. That is, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the foolishness of preaching in that first chapter. And you know, we often feel to be the biggest fool that there is. But it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching. And you know, as I said at the beginning of this sermon, I was tempted not to come with this word. And yet one thing I have learnt already in my little time standing and preaching is not to succumb to the devil's temptations. There was a time, roughly about this time last year, where I preached somewhere. And it was a dividing word. And I knew a little of what was going on in the church at that time. And it troubled me. I thought, oh, it may be construed that I am getting at them. That I am bringing this word to them to divide them or to cause trouble. Yet I went with that word. That word was used for the saving of a soul. That word brought forth fruit. That seed was sown at the appointed time into perfectly prepared ground. And it brought forth fruit. That's how we can carry on sowing the word of God. In the knowledge that all we can ever hope to be is the Lord's messenger. And the Lord will apply the word as he sees fit for his good. I'm sure that's been a comfort to your pastor over many years. A word spoken, applied in an unusual way, an unexpected way, but a fruitful way. That is the seed that has been sown. But we must move on. Why is the seed sown, as we have briefly said? It is to bring forth fruit. And there are two ways that we could look at that. There is that inward fruit. And we have in the early parts of the gospel, those fruits meet for repentance. That change of heart inwardly. That difference. That application. Those new hungers, those new desires. That inward fruit. But we can also look at that outwardly as well. We have, do we not, written those words, by their fruits ye shall know them. For wherever the word of God has entered into the heart, into prepared ground, there will be fruit. There will be signs of a change. There will be evidences. The farmer doesn't go into the field to sow seed for the fun of it. He goes with the expectation of a harvest. That there will be an evidence that seed has done something. But dear friends, the devil can tempt us. That fruit is not real fruit. That fruit is just us trying to perform good works. But we know better than that, don't we? We read, yes, of course we do, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, that for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, that is clear. But the soul that is saved through faith, by grace, as we read in verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There will be that fruit from the preaching of the word. There will be that evidence, as we have in Galatians, don't we, in chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Sorry, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There will be the fruit of the Spirit where the seed is sown in good ground. Do we see it in our lives? Love, joy, peace, so on and so forth. May we look to the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. But to come more to our text this morning, and specifically, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now this is the searching point. As I said at the start, we have heard 100 sermons plus this year. How many have brought forth fruit? Multiply that by the years of your life. How much fruit has there been? What a thought. As we close another year, and we can try and comfort ourselves and say, well, maybe I'm better than a wayside hearer. Maybe I'm better than a stony ground hearer. Maybe I am a thorny ground hearer. You know, I have such a busy life. I have so much to attend to. We do. But that's not an excuse. We are warned, aren't we, in Matthew's gospel. What were the words of Jesus to those cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida? Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. This, dear friends, is a hard word. Let's change the wording of this slightly. It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the murderer, the rapist, the paedophile. Be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for those of us that have sat under the preaching of the Word of God, reverently, respectfully, yet have been unfruitful. The Word of God is a dividing word, a searching word, and there's no excuse for us. Many sermons, how many have brought forth fruit? These are they, the cares of this world, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, but the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Sown among thorns. Now, when I think of thorns, personally, I think of brambles. But, you know, I may be wrong in this thought, but how would brambles stop wheat from growing? And then in looking up this word yesterday, this word thorns in the Greek is the word acanthus, I believe. And there are a species of plant, particularly in the warmer climates, which, yes, are thorny. Yes, do have thorns, but they have very big leaves. They grow very rapidly and become great plants, over a metre high, I believe. And you know, it so came to me like this. Isn't that what is being got at here? The seed is sown, the wheat is put in the ground, it starts to come up. And what does that plant need? That plant needs, more than most things, light. And yet, those thorny plants with those great big leaves soon cover the seedling. No light gets into it anymore. It cannot bring forth fruit. Those of you doing science at school will know full well with photosynthesis, you need the light. We need the light of the gospel. The cares of this world soon overshadow the tender seedling that is coming through. The cares of this world. The distractions of this world. We're surrounded by them, aren't we? I am as much as you are. Don't think that I'm better than any of you. You know, what a great distraction we have with the modern technology that we are confronted with. What a great benefit it is to us. You know, today there are those unable to be with us, but through the technology of the internet and smart devices, they can listen in. But it can be a great distraction. You know, when I go into my office to study the Word of God, to try and prepare for the services of the Lord's Day, I have to put my phone in another room because I cannot control myself. I can soon become distracted. I'm no better than any of you. We are surrounded by so many distractions. That's one way we could look at it, the distractions of the world. But what about the lawful cares of this world? What about the tending to our families? What about all the many, many things that we do at this time of the year? All the presents we have to buy, all the cards we have to write, all the events we may have to organise, and all the other busyness, the meals, the entertaining, all right in their own way. But is it as the thorny plant? So that the seed sown at this time of the year is soon overshadowed, compressed. No light is seen because everything else is distracted. We can't focus. We've got to move on. Sunday's gone now. I've got a busy week ahead of me. I've got A, B, C, D, and E to do. How am I going to fit it all in? Tear around this way and that way. The cares of the world have choked the Lord's day. The cares of this world. And that word choke, it sets before us, doesn't it, the compression, the smothering. It's the same word used where the Lord Jesus is surrounded by people, thronged, in danger, choking the life, the spiritual life, out of us because we are overcome. You know, I was going to read a portion in Jeremiah today. And we have it in Jeremiah chapter 4 and the third verse. The warning of Jeremiah to the land of Judah. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. That was a warning to the Lord's people. This is a warning to us. And this, dear friends, the category, the thorny ground category, is, yes, those that hear the word of God, those of us here. But that will also include the stony ground and the wayside hearers. The cares of this world, the thorns, are really for those professing Christians. Those who people can see there has been that growth. There has been that beginning. These are the words of the Lord. And may these be the words of the Lord to you this morning. That the cares of this world do not take over our lives. May not be a distraction. You know, we can think of it, can't we? And don't get me wrong, we need to be careful to a certain degree. As we read in 1 Timothy, we must provide for our families, otherwise we are worse than infidels. There is a narrow way between the two. Yes, we must rightly provide. Yes, we must rightly do things in this world that we need to attend to. But when is it wrong? When it smothers everything else. The cares of this world. What again does Jesus say? Take no thought for the morrow. Does he not? Take no thought for the morrow. For your life, sorry. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Now that word, take no thought. Really, that may be better interpreted as be not over anxious for your life. We must take that right thought for our lives. But may we not be over anxious, overwhelmed by all that is going on. And how easy it is especially with COVID again with us. And we all have different thoughts and slightly different viewpoints on many things at this time. But is it choking the Word of God? Is it becoming all-consuming? Are we becoming obsessed with one side of the argument or the other? It's a care of this world. Is it choking the Word of God? You know, I hope it's not the case here, but I know it is in some churches. There are real serious divisions over various things at this time. It's a care of the world, dear friends. It's choking the Word. It's destroying churches. It's divisive. May we show love one for another. May we show the fruit of the Spirit amongst us. May that be our chief care. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word. Now, I don't want to touch too much on riches, but just to get this clear, it's not the riches that were being spoken about here. It was the deceitfulness of riches. It was, in a way, the thought that riches can bring you happiness. And in my work, I work for some extremely wealthy people. Let me tell you this. They're no happier. And many times less happy than the poor widow in her little one-bedroom bungalow. The deceitfulness of riches, thinking that, yes, if I get this, yes, if I get that, I will now be happy. Dear friends, there's only one happiness, one true happiness, and that is that knowledge, that union with Christ our Saviour. That, dear friends, is the seed. That is the seed that we need to be set before us, the seed of the gospel, the good news of the Word of God. And as we consider this time of year, as we have been singing those hymns, and as, God willing, next week, you will probably have preached to you the Christmas message. What will be your thoughts as you gather for Christmas Day? Would it be, you younger ones, as I used to be? Oh, come on, hurry up. Can we get on with the day? The cares of the world have choked the meaning of Christmas. What does that mean to you? The birth of Jesus Christ. A man, yes, verily God and verily man. God manifest in the flesh. That he would come to this world. In a state of humiliation, be born of a virgin, laid in a manger, had that poor life, but lived that perfect life, suffered, bled and died for the sins of his people, that his people at that great day of judgment can stand before a holy God clothed in Christ's righteousness with our sins forgiven, can see the Lord in all his glory. Dear friends, this is the seed that we need to consider at this time of year. The birth of Christ but the whole work of Christ. We may pursue all sorts of pleasures, look for all sorts of riches, be consumed with lusts in one way and another, but all of them will fade. All of them will go. All of them will be taken. Whatever you may receive at this time of the year, what are you going to think of it in 5 years' time? 10 years' time? What are you going to think about it on your deathbed? It's worthless, isn't it? Worthless to the person confronted with an eternity. Ponder what these things mean. They're all being removed. They all will be removed. One thing remaineth: the unchangeable Word of God. At this season, may the seed sown not be consumed, not be choked, not be deadened by everything that goes on in our lives. It's only the Lord that can do it. But may we truly pray that He will do so. And as time has nearly gone, I will just close with that thought. For it's something that I struggle with greatly. Not being diligent in prayer. And I'll be honest with you. In the morning I try and read the Word of God privately and pray before I go to work. And sometimes we read the Word of God and it has no effect upon us, and we read it because we have to read it, but we do so because we set out a certain few chapters or so to read through. But prayer, we may rattle off a quick prayer to satisfy our conscience so that we can get on with our day and do all those many things that we have to do. And I need to, and maybe you need to too, be more diligent in prayer. If you wanted to know more about somebody, if you want to know more about Almighty God, or more about anybody, what would be the best way of knowing more about that person? Reading about them, or talking to them? That is prayer. Communion with God, seeking His face. May we not neglect the gift of prayer. May the cares of this world not choke that precious means of grace. So as we leave the house of God, and maybe it would do us all good, maybe in the middle of a week we should look back upon the past Lord's Day and judge ourselves by the Word of God. What hearer was I on the past Lord's Day? Had it all gone by the time I left the door? All gone by the end of the day? All gone by the middle of the week, because the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in have choked it. I'll leave these thoughts with you, and may the Lord apply them to your hearts as He sees fit. Amen.